Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always.
Okay, so today we're looking at, well, this is going to be interesting. We're looking at an article by Bart Sibrel.
Okay.
Now, if that name rings a bell, it might be because he is like, I think it's fair to say, a pretty well-known moon landing skeptic.
Right.
And in this article, he's making some pretty bold claims, basically suggesting that Google's AI, all this AI stuff we hear about, well, he's saying it's analyzed the Apollo mission photos and actually found evidence that points to them being fake.
Oh, so that's where this is going.
Yeah, pretty wild stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, before we even get into like the specifics of his claims, can you maybe give us like a super quick rundown of what this neural network AI is? Because the article keeps mentioning that, and I feel like some of our listeners might not be totally familiar with what that even means.
Sure, yeah. Basically, a neural network is this type of AI that's designed to like kind of mimic the way our brains process information. It learns from, tons and tons of data, and then it can be used to, recognize patterns, make predictions, and I guess in this case, potentially identify inconsistencies in images.
Oh, interesting. So basically, it's like it's seen so many images that it can kind of tell when something looks off.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's developed this sort of visual intuition, I guess you could say.
So what sort of things, what specific inconsistencies is this AI, supposedly finding in these Apollo photos?
Well, according to Sibrel's article, the AI is flagging stuff like unusual light distribution on the moon's surface, shadows that don't seem to line up correctly, and even like blurriness in the foreground of some of the photos.
Awareness.
Yeah, he's saying that might indicate an artificial backdrop.
Wow, that's a pretty detailed analysis. But what about the argument that like thousands of people worked on the Apollo project? Like, wouldn't it be almost impossible to keep a secret that big?
Right, that's definitely one of the big counter arguments. But Sibrel uses a pretty interesting analogy in the article to kind of illustrate his point.
Oh, what's that?
He compares the moon landing to how a bank works.
Okay.
So, like, just because there are a lot of tellers in a bank, right, doesn't mean they all know the combination to the vault or understand all the bank's inner workings.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
So similarly, he's saying that the moon landing could have involved like layers of compartmentalization with lots of people working on different parts without necessarily knowing the big picture.
Right, so he's saying that even if it was faked, a lot of the people who worked on it wouldn't even know.
Exactly. It's an interesting point for sure.
It is. I mean, I'm still, I'm still a little skeptical, but it is an interesting point.
Well, I think skepticism is healthy, especially when we're talking about, such extraordinary claims.
Absolutely.
And Sibrel also makes the point that there wasn't any independent verification on the moon, back then.
Right.
So we're basically relying on the information provided by the government.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And he even quotes Eugene Krantz, the NASA flight director, who apparently admitted that even NASA employees sometimes couldn't tell the difference between real and simulated space flights.
Wow, really? So if even NASA people were having trouble, then that does make you wonder.
Yeah, it's definitely food for thought.
It is. Okay, but let's get back to like the AI's analysis for a sec. The article mentions this one image where like sections of it are highlighted in red, and it says those are the parts the AI, flagged as potentially fake. What exactly is it focusing on in that image?
Oh, right. Well, the highlighted sections, they include a part of the mountain behind the astronaut, which the AI thinks might be a backdrop. And then get this, it even highlights the astronaut figure itself.
Wait, the AI saying the astronaut might be fake. Like, what does that even mean?
Well, according to Sibrel's article, the AI's analysis, it basically suggests that the astronaut figure could actually be like a miniature on a small movie set.
Hold on, a miniature astronaut? That seems, I don't know, that seems like a stretch. I mean, what
Yeah.
kind of evidence does he even have to support that? Wouldn't it have been like ridiculously difficult, if not impossible, to make a convincing miniature astronaut on a set, with the technology they had back then?
Well, yeah, that's a really good question. And to be honest, Sibrel doesn't really go into much detail about that in this particular article. He seems to be focusing more on just presenting the AI's findings as like a starting point for further investigation rather than, offering any kind of conclusive evidence.
Yeah, it's like he's almost using the shock value of these AI findings to get people talking and, questioning the official story of what happened.
So he's kind of using the AI as like a, I don't know, like a launching pad for his skepticism about the moon landing in general.
Right.
But okay, let's say for a minute, even if we entertain the idea that the moon landing was faked, like what would even be the point? Like why go through all that trouble to fake it?
That's a question a lot of people have, you know? And Cibrel, he suggests a few possible reasons, mostly like stuff related to the Cold War.
Oh, right. Because that was like the whole space race thing going on. Exactly. Yeah. The US and the Soviet Union were like in this huge competition. And, national pride was at stake. So Sibrel saying maybe the US felt like they had to appear victorious, even if it meant, staging a moon landing to prove they were ahead in the space race.
So it's like a giant PR stunt to show
Right.
the world that America was winning.
Exactly.
But wouldn't people have figured it out eventually? I mean, and what about all the scientists and engineers who worked on the project?
Right. Well, Sibrel's argument is that the government could have, kept most of the people involved in the dark. He also points to other times in history where the government has, been accused of keeping secrets or manipulating events like the Kennedy assassination
Oh, right.
or the Gulf of Tonkin incident. He's basically saying that those examples prove that large-scale cover-ups are possible.
Okay, but those events are like controversial in themselves, right? I mean,
Rich
there are all
one.
sorts of conspiracy theories about those too.
True.
It feels like we're like going down a rabbit hole here. Can we maybe like switch gears for a second and talk about the whole China thing?
Sure.
Because Subral Bose's article also claims that China knows about this supposed moon fraud and they're using it to blackmail the US. That's a pretty big accusation.
Yeah, no kidding. He actually says he has a source inside the Chinese space agency who confirmed it.
Wow, okay.
And according to the source, China and maybe even Russia too are like using this knowledge to get their hands on advanced US space
Well,
technology.
they're basically holding it over our heads.
Yeah, kind of like a bargaining chip in this whole, global space race thing.
Right. So Sobral saying that the US can't expose the truth about the moon landing without like risking national security and their place in the space race.
Exactly. That's the story he's telling. But it's important to note that he doesn't actually provide any solid proof to back up this claim about China blackmailing the US. It's just, his word and what this supposed anonymous source told him.
That's true. It seems like throughout this whole article, he's relying a lot on like anecdotal evidence, you know, eyewitness accounts and his own interpretations of events. Is there any like hard evidence to support his claims?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, he tells a good story. It's definitely thought-provoking, but a lot of his evidence is, it's circumstantial and it's open to interpretation. For example, he points to the 2024 cover of The Economist magazine. It has a picture of the Apollo rocket with a question mark next to it.
Okay.
And he says that's like a subtle hint that, even The Economist is questioning the moon landing.
A question mark on a magazine cover. I don't
Yeah.
know. That doesn't really seem like proof of anything to me.
Right. It could just be a design choice or them trying to be thought-provoking.
Yeah, exactly.
He also mentions a deathbed confession from someone who claims to have witnessed the Apollo 11 filming at Cannon Aerial
Like,
Space.
seriously. But I mean, how reliable is a deathbed confession?
Yeah.
Especially one that involves like a murder to cover up a massive conspiracy.
Right. It does feel like he's leaning pretty heavily on the sensationalism of it all. I think it's really important to be, skeptical of claims like that.
Yeah, for sure. So basically, we're left with two very different versions of events, the official story from NASA and the government, and then, you know, these alternative theories from people like Sibrel. So where do we go from here? How do we even begin to like make sense of all this?
Well, that's the challenge, isn't it? I mean, maybe as technology advances, we'll have better tools to analyze the evidence we have, or, maybe we'll find new information, or maybe other countries' space programs will be able to like verify or debunk what happened. Who knows? Maybe the mystery will just keep going and we'll be debating this for years to come.
It's like a giant puzzle with missing pieces.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if we never completely solve it, I think it's valuable to explore these different viewpoints and really think critically about it all.
Absolutely. It makes us question what we think we know, examine the evidence closely, and consider different perspectives.
And maybe that's what Sibrel's trying to do with this article, just like get people thinking and talking about it.
Yeah, that's possible. But we also have to be careful about promoting conspiracy theories that aren't based on solid evidence. It's It's a tricky balance between healthy skepticism and spreading misinformation.
You're right. We have to be really mindful of what we're reading and sharing, especially with sensitive topics like this. But I guess at the end of the day, it's up to each person to look at the evidence and decide what they believe.
I agree. And it's important to have these discussions respectfully, even when we disagree.
Well said. This has been quite a deep dive. I mean, we've covered a lot, the AI analysis, the Cold War context, the whole China thing, and, you know, the importance of critical thinking.
We have.
So I guess as we wrap up this whole deep dive into Sibrel's claims, like what's the one thing you'd want our listeners to like walk away with? What's the big takeaway?
I think the biggest takeaway here is that history is, you know, it's complicated. It's not always like a clear-cut story with a definite answer. There are always going to be different perspectives and interpretations and questions that we just don't have answers to.
It's like peeling an onion or something,
Yeah,
right?
yeah,
The
yeah.
more you dig, the more you realize there's even more to uncover.
Exactly. And just like with peeling an onion, sometimes that process can be a little messy, even painful. But it's through that process, you know, through the questioning and the exploring and the critical thinking that we actually start to understand things, understand the world around us a little bit better.
So you're saying even with something like the moon landing, something so controversial, it's important to keep an open mind and consider all the different viewpoints.
Absolutely. It's about, you know, having healthy skepticism, not just accepting things at face value. It's about looking for different perspectives.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, it actually makes me think about something we talk about a lot on this show, media literacy.
Right?
Like, especially nowadays with information, you know, spreading so quickly online and everything, it's more important than ever to be really careful about what we're consuming, what we're reading and believing.
I totally agree. We need to be critical thinkers. You know, we
Yeah.
need to evaluate our sources and be aware of potential biases.
Like, we need to have this mental filter to help us sort through all the noise and figure out what's real, what's actually credible.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I think that's an important skill to have, not just for, you know, historical events or conspiracy theories, but for everything in life.
For sure. Okay, so to kind of wrap things up here, what are some key questions that our listeners should be asking themselves when they're, you know, when they come across information, especially about controversial stuff?
Well, I'd say, first of all, think about, you know, who's presenting the information, what are their motives, could they be biased, and what evidence are they presenting? Is it credible? Can you verify it? And then also, are there other perspectives, other explanations that they're not talking about?
Those are really good questions. It's like having a checklist to make sure we're thinking things through carefully.
Exactly. It's about being an active participant in figuring out the truth.
Awesome. Well, on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into this whole moon landing controversy. This has been quite a journey.
It has lots of twists and turns.
For sure. But I hope our listeners will, you know, keep thinking about these questions, keep exploring, keep being curious.
Yeah, keep those critical thinking skills sharp.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us on this wild ride through the moon landing debate. Until next time, keep questioning, keep exploring, keep diving deep.